Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
After what happened on New Year's Day with the Oregon Ducks, that one was tough. That one was up there in one of the most disappointing moments I have felt as an Oregon fan. As you mentioned earlier in the show, Jordan, I mean, you really didn't have time to even get settled in to the board on Oregon Ducks game day, because from the very start of the game, was it three plays,
70 yards, ridiculous.
That is how the game started. I was like, okay, well, that's not ideal. Not the way you want to start. And then it just snowballed and it got worse. And Jeremiah Smith caught everything that went his way. And they got chunk play after chunk play. I think they were averaging at one point 12 yards per play halfway through the second quarter. They were getting, they were on pace for over 700 yards of offense at one point in the second quarter. It was, again, one of the most disappointing moments I've had as an Oregon fan, because this wasn't the Pac-12 championship game. This was a playoff game. This was the Rose Bowl. This was playing Ohio State. There were so many factors that went into this game that made it as important as it was. And that's what we got. That's what was served up to us. And this is also a reason why I was extremely nervous coming into the game, because of how Ohio State looked against Tennessee. I think that, and I know it was a different collection of players, different group, different defense, but this is the second year in a row now that we have seen a team just take advantage of this defense on the back end, over the top, in the secondary. Last year, we saw it with Washington and Michael Penix, whereas basically it's like, we're just going to throw bombs on you. We're going to throw down the field. We trust that we have a better scheme. We have better players than what you are going to be able to do in the secondary. We're good luck stopping us. We have more talented receivers. Our receivers are more talented than your secondary, and we're going to prove that. We're going to throw on you all day long. And Will Howard, God, one of the most punchable faces in all of college football. He balled out. And I felt like one of the biggest reasons why he was able to do that is another reason that I think the defense is one of the biggest problems of this game, is because you weren't able to make him feel uncomfortable. You weren't able to generate pressure. You weren't able to do that early in the game. So he just felt like he could do whatever he wanted all game long. It was sort of a microcosm of all the flaws of the season wrapped up into one game. Where you had defensive lapses, your offensive line shut down on you, Dylan Gabriel holding onto the ball longer than he should have because there wasn't anything available downfield. I don't know. Again, I guess it would be the Pac-12 championship against Utah was the most recently I have felt like this as a Ducks fans, this level of disappointment. I was shell-shocked. I was stunned silent in that bar. And when it got 31-0, it was over. Yeah. I mean,
Minutes to go in the second quarter. It was over.
And I have yet to apologize to my friend Tanner and a couple of the other people I was with, because when it gets to that point, again, I am a dead inside sports fan. So it's like, I didn't have any faith that we were going to come back and make that a game. We hit score stop against that team. That game was over in the second quarter. There's no chance the Ducks were going to come back and get that win. And the little bit of faith and hope that you had, that glimmer of light that showed up in the second half for a couple seconds, that waned immediately. And
yeah,
again,
I had that faith.
That disappointment, that level of disappointment, I have not felt that for this team in a long time.
I think it was the worst Oregon Ducks football game I've ever watched, period. Hands down. I'm 35. I've been watching Ducks games since the Joey Harrington, AJ Feely days. I barely missed Akili Smith being at the university. Started watching, what, so like 1999, 2000. That is hands down, that is the toilet bowl for me of my lifetime of worst games for Oregon Ducks football, because as you said, Joe, it was over basically as it started or before it started. A minute in, oh, 7-0. And then you're like, well, okay, you know, they had a scripted series. Maybe Oregon can respond. We'll see what they got to come back out. Oh, nothing. Their defense was in the backfield. Oregon couldn't run, and it was 2 3-and-outs in a row. Now, I say that, and I wonder why Oregon, you know, didn't prepare well enough, or the coaches didn't have a good enough game plan, or were outcoached by Ohio State, or why the players didn't show up. You can ask, you know, was it the gap of time between games? There's so many reasons, but like, there's just, man, there's something to be said about just laying an egg in the first 6 minutes of a performance. I don't really know what I'm more mad about. If I'm more mad about the players, or if I'm more mad about like the coaches basically being outcoached. But to that point, I can't put it all on that. Jeremiah Smith is an absolute freak of an athlete. He's 18 years old, and dude belongs in the NFL right now. He could be making a difference standing on the other side of the line for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers paired up with Mike Evans right now. Baker Mayfield could be throwing touchdown passes to that kid. He would be like a top 15, top 10 wide receiver. He's got like such a body of like a 28-year-old already, and he's still only 18. His talent is unbelievable. That being said, once again, to go back to the other side, Joe, and credit Chip Kelly, right? He disguised Jeremiah Smith like an expert, basically kind of just letting him leak out in that first touchdown pass that put Oregon down 7-0. Kind of, you know, after that motion from behind the tight end, just going to the other side of the line, all the defenders are looking around like, all right, guys, we can't lose track of four. We can't lose track of four. And then all collectively at the same time, 5-6 guys are like, hey, who's got four? Where's four? Oh, he's catching the ball. It's too late. It's a touchdown. And then another touchdown by Egbuka. It was a long catch to Egbuka. Buka's set up another touchdown. It was a one-handed freaking catch. There's not much you can do about the talent of Ohio State's wide receivers. So I want to say that it was very comparable to the Washington game, Joe, where Oregon just allowed them to go over the top, but I'm not sure it was so much Oregon allowed them to go over the top. I think Ohio State is unbeatable over the top. And, I mean, there's a whole crap load to talk about on the defensive end as well. The defensive end as well for Oregon. Like, in the middle, the front seven, the front four didn't really get pressure on Will Howard. There's a lot to talk about with Dylan Gabriel as well. But ultimately, I think that Ohio State's receivers were just too good. Jeremiah Smith and Egbuka are better than everybody else in college football, and Oregon just ran into a freaking buzzsaw.
Yeah, again, I just think it was that game was just it was a microcosm of all the things that went wrong throughout the season at different points. At the beginning of the year, it was the offensive line having problems. Well, yeah, you weren't able to generate a run game. They kept running the ball, doing these zone plays to run on the outside that just weren't going anywhere. It was as if they just didn't even want to run inside at points.
Because they knew they couldn't fight through the teeth of the defense.
So the offensive line, that was the big problem at the beginning of the year. Dylan Gabriel taking sacks, too many sacks happening, whether that was the offensive line's fault or his, just not making something happen, either whether it's just making a throw, throwing the ball, trying to get something happen, or running with his legs, trying to make a play happen there. That didn't generate anything. The defense had moments this year that were better than, I would say that was the more consistent unit throughout the season. But I mean, we saw what happened against Ohio State the first time they played. They put up 32 points or whatever it was. So you know that this team could score. You know that the team had a good offense. It was just extreme. I don't know if I'd rank it as the most disappointing game, but when you go 13-0, you win the Big Ten, you beat this team before, and I know it was at Autzen. To have that performance, to go out and from the jump just look not a step behind, multiple steps behind this team, schematically, talent, players, effort. Like, it was just everything that could go wrong did go wrong. It was shocking. I don't know where they go from here.
No, I don't either.
Because I don't know. I mean, it sounds like they're rolling with Dante Moore next year. The transfer quarterbacks, there aren't many out there. And from the understanding of the players in that locker room, Tez Johnson went ahead and said that Dante Moore is going to be a Heisman finalist next year.
Okay.
And that he can do things with the football that he's never seen before. So that is
some internal thought on how people feel about Dante Moore next year, quarterback. But as far as what this team looks like next year, where you're going to get talent, I think that you are going to have to figure out some things offense as far as how you are going to be able to get more plays vertically downfield and get some of these playmakers to have a bigger impact. Because I think it was a talent gap as well. Like, as far as like what you're saying, like Jeremiah Smith, Igbuka, like Ohio State, this is the team that we thought they could be. And they were showing it. And when you have an Ohio State team that is playing to its fullest capability, I don't think it's this big of a gap, but there's a gap. And you need to figure out how to close that. It still hurts to look at an Oregon logo. As far as my sports teams, like I was talking about at the beginning of this show, this is one of the teams that I have like the most hope for as far as getting to the top of the mountain and being a championship contending team. I think they're on the right track. This is year three of Lanning. He's recruiting great. You're getting great players.
Yeah.
I think that you're
We've
on
seen
the right
all that
track.
Stuff grow in the right direction this year.
But just what a gut punch. Like, you thought you'd be a little bit closer than that. Taking a loss in that game is understandable against a great team like Ohio State, but losing like that is that is really where the feelings are, where it is hard to take because of, again, just from the jump to the very end, there was a sizable gap between the two teams.
And really quickly, did the players even give the coaches an opportunity to execute any kind of game plan? That's kind of the negative, unfortunately, of coming out and being down 7-0 immediately. Oregon got to run 6 plays on offense, and then they were down 14-0. What does Will Stein do from there?
That's
You're
what I'm saying.
Already is 10 feet under.
Yeah. Granted, a lot of game left at that point, right?
Of course, but it's.
But again, you kept kind of doing the same things over and over again that weren't getting
exactly.
anything. Those outside runs where, they were just flying up the gaps and just, stopping them for no gain, 1 yard loss, 2 yard. Like, it seemed like, it's like, all right, maybe you should stop doing that. That clearly isn't working. We need to figure out something else here. Run it up the middle. I don't know why we were scared to do that.
Because they couldn't. Because the defense was just too good. Their 4 offensive linemen were freaking studs, and they were getting the space on our offensive linemen all night long.